Yeah.
That, there is that catch-all statute in motor vehicle code in order to.
Why there is generally in.
Yeah, unless otherwise specified.
Penalty is so-and-so.
But my first sentence in the section will work, I think, because we say, because of the express sentence provided. And then we have a point of reference and we can say, well, it's going to fit in either A, B, or C. But if it doesn't authorize, or it doesn't say anything about what the penalty is, then if we call an unclassified misdemeanor, we leave it out there in limbo. So we're going to have to either call it a Class C misdemeanor, which would be our lowest grade of misdemeanor, or call it a violation. Seemed to me one or the other. But even there, we may have some problems because if you call it a violation, and there's nothing in the statute that says what kind of a fine to be imposed,
yeah,
you're right back where
yeah,
you started.
Right back.
So you just,
yeah,
that, it seems to me, just leaves you with Class C.
Class C.
I didn't catch that hole in there until after I went through it about 5 or 6 times. So that would be my recommendation, that we would, the last shall be considered a Class C rather than an unclassified a Class C misdemeanor, which would.
Well, let me see, but let me make sure I understand it. Would this last sentence have any applicability to the present 990 catch-all sections?
Well, it's,
yes, it would.
It, yeah, it could, sure.
So it'd be effective.
Well, won't we have to do something to that last section, that 990 chapter?
Well, I'm wondering whether you're talking about affecting the present 990 catch-alls or future 990 catch-alls.
Well, I think it would have an effect on both.
Yeah. Unless well, what would happen, though, is if you want to go through and say hauling hay without a title, you want that Class B, then it'd be incumbent upon you to amend the hay hauling statute to specify that it's a Class B misdemeanor. You could defend that, I guess that's the reason.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. But what it does in effect is say, well, if the legislature hasn't said what the penalty is, we're going to say it's a misdemeanor, which the statute says now.
How does it affect those cases where the legislature has said what it is by this catch-all?
Well, that'd be an unclassified misdemeanor.
Right. Then it'll be
that's an unclassified.
That would fit into the first sentence here in subsection 2. That's where it would.
Yeah, because there's a specific penalty.
An offense defined outside this code, which, because the express sentence
yeah.
provided,
yeah.
is an unclassified misdemeanor. Well, Mr. Chairman, I move we amend by, so the last sentence read, shall be considered a Class C misdemeanor.
Now, this is very petty, but would you want that to be a paragraph?
You mean make it an A and a B under 2?
Uh-huh.
Well, we could.
To be clear.
Petty point or Class C point?
Petty point.
I
don't think they're two different. I don't think they should be in the same paragraph.
Okay. Yeah, we can make it an A and a B, 2A and 2B.
Yeah. George, you were supposed to pick that up.
Well, George shouldn't object to that.
That's the old court reporter's trick, you know, you get another page out of it.
John's having a terrible time with us this afternoon. I just like to agree with you about something, just to, you know.
Have you noticed the transcripts anymore? They don't get 40 words on a page. I just got one before I came here from Idaho, and my God, this paragraph would be on one page. Pardon me. All right, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Carried.
Abstain.
No abstain. Subcommittee, no abstaining.
Don, you did the A, B, and C like Michigan so that it balanced out poorly. You know, we started out, we were talking about petty, and you really think it needs to be three since we're going into a violation category, you think there has to be three grades of misdemeanors?
Well,
for sound public policy reasons.
I do. I think there is. I think that
you can go over 69 or 90 and 369.
Well, I forget what I have in there, but I have a, I think it's a
lot of cigarettes.
I have 30 days for a Class C, 6 months for a Class B, and 1 year for a Class A.
Yeah, I guess.
That's all right, John.
I mean, that gives you a pretty good range.
Well,
it's early in the week, yeah. Just crank it up.
He's a little bit, you're a little bit stronger than Michigan.
He's going to have a law and order plank in his platform.
Got to see my voters against opponents of law and order.
Now, Section 7.
How do you say, excuse me, I was told about, I told you the other night, the best one, Ivan C. is running. Ivan C. works tirelessly. Keep Ivan C. working tirelessly for you. And the guy's running against him, and the voters panel right underneath it says, give Ivan C. a rest.
That's great.
I'm sorry, but I just...
Yeah, that's pretty good.
All right, now, Section 7. Now, this definition of violation, this is the one we had in your subcommittee before, Judge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and I retain that same definition, which was drafted by Courtney Arthur. Now, I think it's a reasonable definition. The only thing I think we may have to really take a hard look at is whether or not there's anything in 7 that is inconsistent with what I may have, with what we've set up in Section 6. Because we say an offense is a violation if it is so designated in the statute defining the offense. So we're okay right to there. Or if no sentence of imprisonment is authorized. Now, up in 6, we've said an offense defined by a statute but without specification as to its classification or as to the penalty authorized upon conviction. Now, it seems to me no sentence of imprisonment is authorized.
It might be inconsistent.
If you say, or if no sentence of imprisonment is authorized, it implies that even if sentence of imprisonment is authorized and the statute designates it as a violation, it's a violation.
No.
I don't.
Well, under 2, though, I think we've taken care of that because we say an offense may be made punishable by a fine, forfeiture, but that's all. We don't. You see, you're not allowed to use imprisonment under it.
Why don't you say an offense, a violation is an offense for which no sentence of imprisonment can be authorized?
Well,
and Don, that does conflict with the last sentence of 2 of Section 6.
Well, it bothered me a little, frankly, but...
Because we've said there that it'll be a Class C misdemeanor.
Yeah, but that's an offense.
Well, so is this.
You're right.
Don't be offensive.
I think you're going to have to redraft sub 1. That's what you're going to have to do.
Well, I think John Burns' suggestion might be a good one.
Well, why don't you say an offense is a violation if it is so designated in the statute defining the offense, or if the only penalty provided by statute for such conduct is fine or whatever. forfeiture and so on.
Why do you need me to say it, the first part of it, Jim?
Maybe you don't.
I mean, if you have a statute where they where it does not provide a sentence of imprisonment, then it's automatically a violation.
Well, of course, really, to get to be a violation, the legislature is going to have to declare it a violation.
Well, it does so by virtue of in the manner in which it affixes the penalty.
If this says it's a fine.
It gets to be one either by saying it's a violation or by saying people that break this law can be fined up to $1,000, whatever, $500.
Well, now, I was wondering if we couldn't say under sub 1, an offense is a violation if it is so designated in the statute defining the offense, or if the offense is punishable as provided in subsection 2 of this section. Where we say an offense may be made punishable by a fine, and forfeiture. So in other words, if the offense is punishable with a fine or fine and forfeiture or civil penalty, then even though it's not called a violation, we still classify it. Would that take care of it? Rather than saying if no sentence of imprisonment is authorized, which is, I think, the language that conflicts with what we set up above.
How does it go again?
We say an offense is a violation if it's so designated in the statute defining the offense, or if the offense is punishable as provided in subsection 2 of this section, or if the offense is defined by any statute of this state as not constituting a crime. What
do you accomplish by this last language, or if the offense is defined by any statute as not constituting a crime?
Isn't that the same as if it's so designated in the statute?
Isn't that kind of an invitation to the legislature to create some oddball category out here?
Well, might be.
Because if you categorize them, they got to be either crimes or violations. And then they come along and they pass a statute and says the violation of this statute shall not constitute a crime. It shall be a bad deed or something. Seems to me that if you stopped right here, you could accomplish your object.
John, this wouldn't work because it would be inconsistent with the last sentence of 2 of section 6. An offense.
That language comes out of the Model Penal Code is where we got it.
We could fix that if we change an offense on 6 made a crime defined by statute of the state, but without specification as to its classification would be a misdemeanor.
Yeah.
That might do it. That's kind of begging the issue, but that gets us away from the inconsistency between what's now 2B and 1.
Well, of course, we say a crime's offense. Well, in order for it to be a crime, though, it has to carry a sentence of imprisonment.
Well, what I'm saying, though, is it's true, but see, the problem was that you have two open-ended things that were inconsistent, and really all we're talking about in 6.2b is a crime. So we changed an offense to a crime defined by statute without specification. Then you could leave the other one if the offense is defined by statute does not constitute a crime.
Well, but I think we've got a problem because of our definition of crime, though, because it can't be a crime unless the statute defining it authorizes a sentence of imprisonment.
Oh, that's right.
So if the statute doesn't say what the penalty is upon conviction, then by definition it's not a crime.
Yeah.
You follow me? Because we've said that a crime is an offense that you can go to jail for. And if the statute defining it doesn't say what the penalty is, then you don't know whether you can go to jail for it or not. So you can't really well call it a crime.
No, I understand that, but I don't see how that... Really, when we're not thinking of violations, let's go back to 6-2.
Well, you could make this a violation instead of a Class C misdemeanor. You go either way on that as a matter of policy. But once you decide to throw it into a Class C misdemeanor rather than a violation, wherever the catch-all stuff.
Yeah, but we're not going to cross. Are we going to cross between? Let's suppose that we have an offense which could be a violation or a crime defined in the statute, but we don't say anything as to its classification. It's automatically not a violation, but comes up to the grade of a misdemeanor,
yeah,
even though it doesn't provide for imprisonment.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. If it's just silent on it, then we're picking it up as a Class C misdemeanor.
You could go the other way. You could say, if there's nothing about it, then it's a violation.
Well,
but the problem with that is...
Of course, see, the whole thing says an offense defined by a statute of state. If you put the word in crime, it's got to be defined sufficiently that you can tell it's a crime, right? Isn't that what you're saying, Doug?
No, but the ones we're worried about in this are the no-nos. That don't have a specific penalty provision.
We're arbitrarily going to make it Class C.
Yeah.
All right. So.
And you can't, if there isn't anything said about them, you can't say they're a crime. Because we've already said for it to be a crime, it has to carry a sentence of imprisonment.
Well, then 2B shouldn't be hanging on just misdemeanors, because it also picks up, should be under Section 7 then, shouldn't it, as well, or referred. Know what you're saying?
No.
Straighten them out, Don. I tried and I can't. I'm confused now myself, as a matter of fact.
Listen, you kept sorting your way through that labyrinth Friday, explaining to Don Clark why something was an unlawful criminal gambling. Don't give up on an easy one like this.
Our definition of a crime says that imprisonment or a fine must be authorized. So then when we come down to where there is no penalty authorized, and we say that's a crime, it's inconsistent with
our definition.
Our definition.
So then, Wally said, then the way to solve that is to make that a violation.
I think maybe part of my problem, I'm talking clear up on 2B.
That's what I am.
But it doesn't say,
the only way to do it is it shall be considered a violation, not to be inconsistent with the definition of crime. Because if it doesn't carry with it a prescription for imprisonment, and it's inconsistent with Section 2, you make it a Class C misdemeanor. Right, Don?
Well,
close.
I really don't think we can say under 2B of Section 6, I don't think we can call it a violation. For the simple reason that when you get over to what the punishment for a violation is, we say, we say fines for violations. This is on page 13 of the next article. Authorized disposition of offenders. Fines for violation. A sentence to pay a fine for a violation shall be a sentence to pay an amount fixed by the court not exceeding $250. In the case of a violation defined outside this code, the amount of the fine shall be fixed as provided in the statute defining the offense. See. So if that's the case, then you're right back where you started with no penalty provision if you call it a violation under 6.2b. What you need to call it something so that you can bring it into your penalty range. You see, I don't know that I'm making myself clear or not, but you've got to have something specific to hang it on. And a Class C misdemeanor does carry something specific.
You could cut out sub 2 of section 7 over there. I'll argue that it should be cut out anyway when we get to that. And if you did, then you wouldn't have a problem.
Well, let me make this suggestion. I would suggest that we, in the first place, I'm not sure that I'm happy with this language in 7 sub 2 about
I'm not either.
Fine and forfeiture, because I'm not sure we want to get into the business of saying that if a forfeiture is involved, that makes it a violation. Maybe we do. But assuming for the moment we do, then it seems to me we can accomplish what we want to in 7 by saying this: an offense is a violation if it is so designated in the statute defining the offense, or if the offense is punishable by fine, forfeiture, or other civil penalty, period. And then go on to say conviction of a violation does not result in any disability or legal disadvantage based on conviction of a crime. You don't need to say a violation is not a crime. We've already said that.
You're getting closer to this, Jim.
Now give me that again. Or if the offense is punishable by fine, forfeiture...
Yeah, assuming for the moment you want to leave forfeiture and other civil penalty. If you say an offense is a violation if it is so designated in the statute defining the offense, or if the offense is punishable by a fine, forfeiture, or other civil penalty, period.
Period.
And then pick up the last sentence: conviction of a violation does not result in any disability or legal disadvantage based on conviction of a crime.
I think go for that, except I don't pick it like the language or legal disadvantage.
I'm not happy with that language either, but...
But with regard to the substance of your amendment, I think that I will move that or second that if you want to make a motion.
Well,
shouldn't it only or something be in there, because a felony is punishable by fine, forfeiture, and so on?
Punishable only by...
Yeah, I think it should be
by
there.
A fine.
Punishable only by a fine. Well, in the first place, I'm not sure that, as I say, I don't see why we throw in forfeiture or other civil penalty, because if we say other civil penalty, that's simply an invitation to womp up another kind of a wrist slap of some kind, like that. Maybe, I don't know what you think of it.
Well, at the same time, we may want it eventually or someday in connection with...
Maybe say if we went the other way on our obscenity and we provided for injunction proceedings and...
Maybe you provide that you burn the books or something. I don't know. Forfeiture, destruction, then seizure, and all this other
stuff. Would that be a violation? Would you get a...
Why don't you just say that it's a violation if the societal response is a fine. And
because you're going to complicate this, you're going to have misdemeanors and you're going to have some felonies where you're going to have forfeitures.
You'd sure want to limit it like Wally suggests.
Yes.
This comes right out of the Model Penal Code. And this was approved once before.
By a
subcommittee. And well, that doesn't mean it's good.
And we're led the debate in support of it.
That's right.
As I recall, I sent my deputy that day.
or if no other sentence than a fine or fine and forfeiture or other civil penalty is authorized.
Let me ask you this. Supposing that we eliminate the forfeiture and civil penalty aspect of this thing, would that then mean that for a violation there could be no provision for forfeiture or some civil remedy?
Well, you can always swamp in the forfeiture statute wherever you want to.
Well, isn't that what we're saying in effect here?
What you're saying,
that if it has been whomped in, and there's a fine, that's still nothing more than a violation?
No, what you're saying, as long as you're whomping it in, is that if anybody gets violated, there's no forfeiture.
No, Jim, I don't think we can foresee the damn things that are going to happen.
Aren't we going at this? The only reason you have to approach these things to the back door is because the legislature forgets to identify what they're talking about. It's the old story. When you try to define to the crowd what's a felony, anything goes to penitentiary, which is a cop out, really. You know, that's great. It doesn't tell them what it is. It's telling them before you go. And then you define your misdemeanor by telling them everything that is in the felony. So the way you look through the statutes to find out whether a particular crime is a misdemeanor or felony, you look at its sentencing, which is really the backwards way of going. If you're going by classification, in my view, we ought to be able to state what it is or it isn't. It's a felony, Class A or Class B, and that's the whole intent of this thing. So my view of, or if no sentence of imprisonment is authorized, or these little, the second phrase is kind of the admission that the legislature forgot to identify what kind of crime it's talking about and just stopped on penalty. It seemed to me that, I'm arguing against Tony now on this, but it seemed to me if you said it was punishable only by a fine, then it doesn't necessarily mean that you preclude forfeiture and all the other things.
Well, that's a question I asked.
Well, all right. If you want to leave it in, I don't feel very strongly about it, I suppose. But it seems to me that as far as what you're trying to do here is you want to be able to say that wherever it's punishable only by a fine, or wherever the statute designates that it's a violation, then it's a violation, period.
I don't think it's a bad idea to make allowance for a forfeiture. For example, some of these regulatory sanctions where it provides for forfeiture of a license to do a certain thing upon conviction. You know, you don't send a man to jail, you fine him maybe, and he loses his license.
And if we say it's only a fine, then if there's a forfeiture connected with it, it's not even a violation.
Well,
or anything.
The thing, forfeiture doesn't really bother me. The wording that bothers me is simply is other civil penalty. What other civil penalties are there?
Abatement of a nuisance.
Well,
like a house of prostitution.
It'd be unimportant then whether it was a violation or not. So I don't. The civil remedy part, I think, is doesn't add or detract a great deal from it. I'm not concerned about it. What would you think of that, John?
Of course, there's a provision in the statute for the DA, I think, in some cases. Well, I suppose that it's still a civil proceeding where he's going after an injunction.
Yeah.
Where do we get into these consumer fraud things that are getting so much publicity now, where there's all sorts of...
Well, but they're still basically civil injunctive proceedings.
Right.
Well, then why don't...
I was saying the civil injunctive proceeding would fall within this or other civil remedy.
Well, but it says or other civil penalty.
Well, when I would say other civil remedy...
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
You're just testing to see if we're paying attention.
You just twitched.
I'm sure it won't give up on
an offense is a violation if it is so designated in the statute defining the offense, or if the offense is punishable only by a fine, forfeiture, or other civil penalty. Conviction of a violation does not result in any disability based on conviction of crime.
I'll buy that, except if you will buy fine and forfeiture, or other civil penalty.
Is that...
No, I see what he... I think...
Fine and forfeiture.
Fine and forfeiture.
Or any other civil remedy.
No, just or.
Well, that means, that means, though, that if it's only punishable by forfeiture, then it isn't a violation.
Mm-hmm. The Model Penal Code says shall not give rise to any disability or legal disadvantage based. Trying to see what their commentary said.
I think that language is better too, rather than result in any disability, give rise to.
This reflects a purpose of the code to employ penal sanctions only with respect to conduct warranting the moral condemnation implicit in the concept of a crime.
Does not give rise.
Do they talk about what they mean by disability or legal disadvantage?
Objection to say fine, forfeiture, fine and forfeiture, or other civil penalty. But where did you get this defendant?
I got that out of mouth here, Kevin.
No, you didn't.
You want to hear the commentary from there, what they say here about. They go on, they talk about misdemeanors and petty misdemeanors, and then they say, there is, however, need for a public sanction calculated to secure enforcement situations where it would be impolitic or unjust to condemn the conduct involved as criminal. In our view, the proper way to satisfy that need is to use a category of non-criminal offense for which the sentence authorized upon conviction does not exceed a fine or fine and forfeiture or other civil penalty such, for example, as the cancellation or suspension of a license. This plan is believed will serve the legitimate needs of enforcement without diluting the concept of crime or authorizing the abusive use of sanctions of a prison. It should, moreover, prove of great assistance in dealing with the scope of, or with the problem of strict liability, a phenomenon of such pervasive scope in modern regulatory legislation. Abrogation of such liability may be impolitic, but authorization of a sentence of imprisonment when the defendant, by hypothesis, has acted without fault seems wholly indefensible. Reducing strict liability offenses to the grade of violations may therefore be the right solution. So that's what they have to say.
I think Jim's proposal here is a good one. Why don't you say it again? And
you want to have
it forfeiture singly, too.
All right.
Get this down, this will be it.
An offense is a violation if it is so designated in the statute defining the offense, or if the offense is punishable only by a fine, comma, forfeiture, comma, fine and forfeiture, comma, or other civil penalty, period. Conviction of a violation, what is that language you
want? Does not give rise.
Does not give rise to any disability or legal disadvantage based on conviction of a crime.
I think that's a Jim Dandy. Jim Burns,
Danny.
I move,
George is awful quiet here.
I just lay here in the
weeds
for Don later.
She's going to
get. Is there a motion?
Yeah, so
you've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Carried.
I don't know, the abuse I've taken the last few days.
We still got a referee when he's going to call all clipping penalties.
Mr. Chairman, it's now 6 o'clock. Do you want to go on, or do you want to have dinner and then come back?
Well, what do you, whatever you folks want to do, you want to go on for about another hour and then have dinner and then call it quits? We're making pretty good progress right now.
Why don't we go on for another half hour and then bring up the decision?
I need a drink of water.
And then drink the rest of it?
Drink of water?
Yes, water is what I need. Yes. Well, this wouldn't send for some. Listen, they have people who bring it around to you here.
Oh, I know. He wants the tip himself.
Well, New York was interesting, wasn't it? A misdemeanor in New York is between 15 days and a year, and they don't have it broken down at all, do they?
Frankly, it seems to me that Saul Rubin was right in his criticism of the New York structure. I mean, it seems to me that right down the line that they've made situations worse as far as what kind of prison sentences people are going to end up and what kind of punishment is going to be imposed upon them. I mean, I think it's a...
I mean, they got stricter.
Yeah, it's a repressive sort of legislation, in my opinion.
When was Arab Code adopted, John?
67? Yeah, and it was amended quite a bit, 69, but no, it was passed first in 65 and then amended in 67, but the basic code is 65.
So it'll always be, if it's adopted by the legislature at all, be amended, because you just can't foresee everything.
Oh my God, yeah.
Well, it certainly happened in Illinois, didn't it, George? Yeah. They had...
They didn't have a lot of significant change,
yeah.
So I don't think.
It
came out pretty much
with
what they went in.
Thank you.
How about that?
But I mean, subsequent sessions,
yeah.
You know, I mean, there's no way to
stop that. But once you get the basic structure, a sound basic structure going like this, is
would everyone please keep their glass in front of them so you don't use...
I didn't sneak equipment while I was out either.
Now, don't use two glasses and I'm without one.
Was this your glass?
No. that was unused. No, go. You don't have any bad germs.
Here, you can have some of mine. I don't have any.
We made a motion, we passed number 7, but we still, did we ever answer the question with respect to sub 2 of section 6? We're going to leave that as is, Class C.
Okay, then in Section 8, on classification of violations, say first of all that any violation defined in this code is expressly designated in the section defining the offense. So if we decide to grade anything as a violation, well, we will specifically say so, anything we have in our basic criminal code itself. And then... any offense defined outside this code, which because of the express sentence provided within the definition of Section 7 of this article, shall be considered a violation. And violations are not classified.
Why do we have to say considered? Why don't we just say shall be a violation?
I think that's a good point.
Any offense defined which because of the express sentence provision provided.
Instead of the express sentence provided, there's something more than a sentence in Section 7. Shouldn't we say because of the provisions of Section 7?
Express
provisions?
Well, if a forfeiture's ordered, wouldn't that be part of the sentence?
Well, how would you say punishment? Is punishment a better word? I suppose either one would do, really. But it kind of jars you a little bit to think of, I sentence you to a forfeiture.
Where do you get some of the other things I got in here? I sentence you to discharge.
Yeah, I know that, but I sentence you to have your fishing license canceled.
Thank you.
delete the considered there in 7.1 of Section 8?
Well, we could say which is punishable as provided in
that's
Section
what,
7.
That's what I think that would be better language.
Yeah, how would that grab?
Give it to me again.
Offense defined outside this code, which is punishable as provided in Section 7 of this article,
which shall be a violation.
A violation is not a crime.
You don't like punishment.
Crime and punishment go together. The violation and crime don't go together. Therefore, the violation and punishment go together.
Yes, I think they do.
Well.
You don't have to say punishment if you want. Just say which, by reason of the provisions of Section 7.
Of course, we've already used punishment
over there.
And frankly, I racked my brain working on this, trying to come up with a better word. But it seems to me if you're sentenced to pay a fine, that's punishment. But
why don't you put womp?
Womp, yeah. If you're womped by the judge.
Yeah. Okay, it was womped. It's provided in Section
7.
Class A one, B.
You still get a lot of guys that argue pretty strongly how to bring back the whipping post.
I don't think there's any
I think that's better language.
I do too.
Which is punishable as provided in Section 7.
I don't know, maybe I'm being a little redundant in Section 8, but
well, all right.
You get started on something like this and it's hard to stop.
Is it, I guess
now that
you
haven't made a
six and you say shall be considered a Class C misdemeanor.
Well, we better be.
See, these other codes all say shall be deemed, and I don't like deemed,
and
I don't think it really hurts to have considered.
No.
And
so
in Section 4 you have shall be considered a Class C.
Put considered back in.
Tell Wally Carson we made two significant decisions. So your name was considered when he was gone.
Well, you could say is a violation.
Well, we'll be consistent if we say shall be considered, although it isn't. Is that a motion?
We amend so it reads any offense defined outside this code which is punishable as provided in Section 7. This article shall be considered a violation.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
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 Good.
How do you like subsection 2? Is that all right?
Great.
One of your more concise efforts,
John. The only improvement you can make is say 8.
All right, now, then we get down into Section 9, and this is language that was drafted in your subcommittee, Judge, again, and was, I felt since it had kind of been through the fire there, I wasn't going to fuss with it too much and let you decide what you wanted to do with it. This is really our indictable misdemeanor section.
Well, I think that by and large the language is certainly better and more clear than the present state of the law, and it's a bothersome.
Well, the only
area now.
This was drafted by Courtney Arthur.
After a long, painful discussion.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, this was the second draft.
Yeah, right.
This was the second draft.
This
after
the first draft was subject to discussion.
Mm-hmm. Well. In the 1969 session, we changed, or maybe it was 67, some of this business about, well, 67, wasn't it? Where you commit people now in your judgment order to the corrections division. You do that now. I'm wondering, really, if we shouldn't say, punishable by commitment to the Oregon State Corrections Division.
Well,
when I say that is that the way Galvin has this set up with his juvenile, adult, and community divisions, they're envisioning the point where a defendant is committed by youth in their custody, and they put him immediately into a work.
Well, the thing is, though, John, I can see him hopefully a time when we will have regional facilities, which will essentially be the equivalent of the county jails now, and I can foresee a time when we will be having regional facilities at least partly under the Corrections Division. And if you get to that point, I hate to see us have a situation where everybody that went to the Corrections Division was a felon, because I think quite clearly, if you got to the time when you had regional facilities,
well, you'd have them for misdemeanors.
You might well have them for misdemeanors, and I don't think it makes too much.
The statute actually refers to the correctional institute, doesn't it?
Well, that presently, but the sentencing statute now, it's not in this.
I've got terms of commitment to the corrections division.
I don't envision guys being sentenced to a regional county.
Here's what the statute says. If the court imposes a sentence of imprisonment upon conviction of a felony, it shall not designate the penal or correctional institution in which the defendant is to be confined, but shall commit the defendant to legal and physical custody of the corrections division. But actually, we've recently had a change in policy, and we've been advised by Galvin that what he wants us to do what he has now said is that if the person meets preliminarily the OCI criteria, he is taken directly by the sheriff to OCI.
Yep.
This is a change of policy, because for about a year or so, everyone was taken to the pen initially, and the OCI fellows would only be there perhaps a week or less.
Well, that was their diagnostic plan.
That didn't mean they were setting up a diagnostic center.
Well, they were trying to.
Well, but they don't have the money. You fellas want to give them the money, well, maybe they'll, that statute means something, but in the meantime, it's a dead letter. But in any event, we now sign the orders directing the sheriff to take the individual to the correctional institution, but the orders still read that he's committed to the custody of the corrections division for 3 years or whatever it is.
Well, that doesn't make too much difference, though, does it?
Well, it doesn't really make any difference, but except for this, assume that the Oregon State Corrections Division changes its policy, which we can anticipate that they're going to, and this is maybe changed by statute, and that starting in 1973, so next year, you sentence a guy to the corrections division, and he goes to the corrections division, and immediately, maybe he goes there 3 years, but by virtue of their pre-sentence procedure, immediately he goes into a work release center. He goes out to MCCI under the Oregon State Corrections Division, and he's on a 4-year commitment. He goes right into work release. Now, he hasn't gone to either OCI or OSP, and if he's
Yes, he has. Because if I send him, he goes there to OCI or OSP initially. And you'd have to change the statute.
Statute is changed.
Well, then
under this, because he didn't go to to the PIN or to OCI, then he's a misdemeanor.
Well, then that would mean that you'd have to make a proper change in this definition section.
John, that's anticipating something. What if we change the name of the penitentiary to Pokey? You'd have to do the same thing at a later date.
Or Clamor.
Did you discuss, Miantis, the fact that that they proposed just putting him in the charge of the corrections division as such? Is that where you got into this discussion?
That's what I I propose that we change this to corrections division rather than specifying. But
I don't know that. I don't think there's any.
Our minutes will show what we intended anyway.
Well.
You see where the power really reposes in this commission.
Of course, no one.
Can we take care of that by commentary?
Rather you show that the chairman has a coat and tie and he's smoking his $50 pipe.
Today, dollar pipe last time.
Well, 137-124, court imposes sentence of imprisonment on conviction of a felony. Shall not designate the penal or correctional institution. Shall commit the defendant to the legal and physical custody.
Well, now, if that's the case, we better eliminate penitentiary, too.
Why couldn't we just say, and recognizing that at the time this was drafted, you see, Courtney didn't know what kind of a penalty structure or grading system we were going to have. Why couldn't we just say when a crime punishable as a felony is also punishable by imprisonment? Because if it's punishable as a felony, we're going to say in our articles what the maximum term of the indeterminate sentence of imprisonment is going to be, and then your existing statute, which we propose to amend, 137-124, says that you don't send him.
I think you're absolutely
that sounds like a doozy.
Institution.
Yeah, I think that sounds very good.
Say that again. Run that up the flagpole again, please.
Pump it up again.
Well, I was just saying, if we set on a crime punishable as a felony and take out that in the penitentiary or the Oregon State Correctional Institution.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do on the latter part of it down here?
Well, then we could say other than if the court imposes a punishment other than imprisonment as provided in ORS 137.124.
Or we could say...
which then tells the court that what it does with the guy, sends him to the custody of the corrections division.
Beautiful. I want the record to know that I said something funny.
You're getting ready, aren't you?
I'm getting warmed up. I'll get it tonight.
We're going to write an awesome lot.
George is waiting until we get to the penalties for arson.
All right, say that again and we'll adopt it.
I don't know if I can remember it. When a crime punishable as a felony and then delete by imprisonment in the penitentiary or the Oregon State Correctional Institution, delete that language, and then one to say is also punishable by imprisonment for a maximum term of 1 year or by a fine. The crime shall be classed as a misdemeanor if the court imposes a punishment other than imprisonment as provided in ORS 137.124.
You could say other than the imprisonment.
Or under, we could say.
As
other
felony.
Than imprisonment under ORS 137.124.
Other than the imprisonment under?
Mm-hmm. Under ORS 137.124.
How does that sound to you, gents? George has already spoken.
So moved.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Carried. Now, here's where you wanted that flag, George, a while ago.
Yes, I indicated. No, I want it back in three.
Yes, back in three, but so that...
Well, I have to argue with you, George.
Okay. So I understand.
It's a technical suggestion.
Now, Don, is that as described or as prescribed? Of a crime punishable as prescribed by subsection 1 or as described is?
Well, it's the definition, so I think it'd be described.
I think
that was the conclusion you came to.
Well, this wasn't my language, but I would agree with it. That I think described is the word that you want to use rather than. But, your idea, George, is to, in section 3, say, except as provided in section 9.
Yeah, simply. The reason I say that is if section 9, the provisions of section 9 appeared in section 4, I wouldn't care about 3, but we have a break of something like 4 or 5 sections, often in dealing with statutes, you run into that problem where you have a section that's later qualified, has a direct impact with a later section that's just logically broken, and the reader has to struggle around and may never, in fact, find that other section that has such an important impact on you. Some people don't pay much attention to statutes.
How would it hurt anything?
It doesn't hurt anything.
In section 3, if we were to add that, start it that way.
No objection.
Except as provided in section 9 of this article.
Yeah.
That's a good idea, George.
Thanks, Don.
When are you guys going to start? I can hardly wait.
He's waiting for murder.
He's waiting for murder.
I've got a couple others, too.
All right, now you can go to sub 2 of section 9.
All right, now. The purpose of this is to continue our indictable misdemeanor type of treatment, and that it would be a felony if it's the court has the option, and it would be a felony until one of the following things occurs that we set out in the rest of the section. And then it would be a misdemeanor for all purposes. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's anything in there that really is different from existing law, except it clarifies it, except for the paragraph G, page 5, the court declares the offense to be a misdemeanor and discharges it, and that should say discharges the defendant. But that would be
this certainly is a much clearer. Did we have this before the full commission one time? This whole thing sounds so familiar.
Well, I think you sat in on the subcommittee.
You were there.
Maybe that was it.
And see, originally this this section, well, in fact, originally we started out, we had the definition of a crime and the definition of a felony and the definition of a misdemeanor and violation, and then we had this section 9, and the original intent under our early thinking was that these would just be sections under our general provisions article. All I've done is just expanded on that and made a new article called Classes of Offenses and included it and within the grading provisions.
What if the court imposes forfeiture? The thing that worries me is I want to make sure this is exhaustive. I'm not sure that it is. Without granting probation, the court imposed a fine.
I think you've got a point there. I think we should perhaps have that same language again. Imposes a fine, forfeiture, or fine and forfeiture.
It isn't too likely that in a felony misdemeanor option that they're only going to take his fishing license away from him. But it's
might
conceivable.
Might take his load of hay.
But the thing is, if you did that, if you took his load of hay and that was all, and it isn't covered, then it's a felony.
Mm-hmm. You agree with that, Don?
I really think we ought to reserve judgment on changing that language until we get over some of these other sections, because trying to provide for implementation of the indictable misdemeanor approach, I don't think we want to get into the position of saying that this can, that we're going to have a felony violation type of offense.
How do you know you're not? When the situation comes before the court, he's charged with a felony, and what the court does is impose a forfeiture.
Well, no, it probably wouldn't be a problem because up above we've provided that it's also punishable by imprisonment, so that's going to save us, I guess. I just didn't want to in effect say we're calling it a misdemeanor when it's a violation, but I don't think we've got that problem. But
how does this work if I impose a sentence and suspend execution and put him on probation? It's still a felony.
Yeah. It's not within these.
Under this line, couldn't it?
Yes, it'd be a felony, yes.
Sometimes when you really want to give somebody a jolt, you know, hoping to bring them around to a sense of you, that's a technique you use.
What's that? Soccer?
Yeah. 5 years, or you say something, and then you just stop and listen, let the clock tick away.
Like a lobster twice, yeah.
And that's a pretty long time, isn't it? And suspend execution and put him on probation.
Now, when you when you give him 5 years and you suspend execution, that's
you put him on probation.
You suspend imposition. Now, tell me.
What?
What's the difference between when you suspend execution?